It's the morning of March 8th. We're chasing a tip about a man who's leaving the country. Our sources tell us he just took a carry-on bag through security that was packed with $1 million cash. You can do that as long as you fill out one of these government forms. The money is usually headed to the Middle East, Dubai, and points beyond. Our sources say last year alone, more than $100 million cash left MSP in carry-on luggage.
How much money do you think has been sent around fraudulently here inside Minnesota?
Over the years, I would say anywhere from $80 to $100 billion.
The Somalian fraud is nationwide.
Columbus, Ohio has the second largest Somali population after Minneapolis. The money is in suitcases in Columbus. It flies to Minnesota. It goes to Minneapolis, then the couriers in Minneapolis pick up that money, combine it with the money in Minnesota, and take it overseas.
What's the name of the child care here?
I don't know.
I ask, has this place ever been a child care? The woman says no. But obviously, Washington state records tell a completely different story.
Yeah, this specific address is locked into Washington state records as a daycare.
Yeah.
They have made $210,000. Just this year.
And how many kids again is this place registered for?
Oh, that's the fun part. Three.
Three kids.
So this place are licensed for nine children.
Okay. So this place is licensed for nine.
But they have six slots available.
Right.
Which means they only have three kids and they've raked in $210,000 in tax money.
The Somali Education Resource Center. Suite 301 here at 299 East Granville Road in Dublin, Ohio. Now, the deal is that $14 million into this center here. This is a single office. And by the way, there's nothing inside it. We've already looked. It is very, very, very much dark, and it looks like there's maybe a couch inside.
The Democrats continue to play the race card, of course.
Whether you're Somalian, Italian, Indian, Irish, Jewish, I don't care. If you're stealing billions of dollars from American taxpayers, funneling it to terror networks, you do not belong here. That's not called immigration in America. That is called criminality.
What do you make of this argument of failure to assimilate and sort of ruining America? How do you understand this?
I mean, when I think about Stephen Miller and his white supremacist rhetoric, it reminds me of the way the Nazis described Jewish people.
These people are just idiots. I'm at the point where it's become really hard to have an intellectual debate with any of these people, because the level of stupidity that they are displaying every single day is frankly embarrassing.
The idea that this is a white nation that needs to be preserved is a fascinatingly disgusting view.
He's always been a racist, a bigot, a xenophobic.
The one place where we thought we would never experience this is the U.S. goddamn states.
How is one race being targeted when that supposedly victimized race is robbing Americans from every walk of life?
I'm a licensed private investigator in California. I started looking into state records and I found ghost daycares. These are places where the state inspectors showed up. There would be 28 kids enrolled and there were no kids there in the middle of the day and in the middle of the week.
The Attorney General of Washington State has called the journalists that are investigating the fraud that's going on. Yeah, that's apparently harassment.
We're at Hilauli Safia Child Care Center in Kent, Washington. They have received $863,000 since 2023. I don't see any signs right off the bat that it's a child care.
Washington Attorney General Nick Brown has labeled it potential harassment that could lead to hate crime reports, emphasizing that unsubstantiated accusations and door knocking disrupts providers and families.
A lot of this is generated by the president and Elon Musk tweeting out unverified reports in Minnesota, and that quickly, grew a storm across the nation. What I'm concerned about is YouTubers showing up at your porch and filming children.
This coming from an attorney general that is aggressively targeting Christians. But if you have nothing to hide, what's...
G-Man! All the free-flowing methylene blue is now mine! No way, you evil scum, methylene blue is for everyone.
Order Methylene Blue at the alexjonesstore.com.
We're gonna make it, men!
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at the alexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We got a lot coming your way, as you guys saw. President Trump speaking in Davos, and it was very, very interesting. He alluded to the fact that charges are coming for those who tried to steal, or who did steal, I guess I should say, the 2020 election. Take a listen, clip 18.
It's a war that should have never started, and it wouldn't have started if the 2020 U.S. presidential election weren't rigged. It was a rigged election. Everybody now knows that. They found out. People will soon be prosecuted for what they did. It's probably breaking news, but it should be. It was a rigged election. Can't have rigged elections. You need strong borders, strong elections, and ideally a good press. I always say it. Strong borders, strong elections, free, fair elections, and a fair media. The media is terrible. It's very crooked. It's very biased.
All right, as you heard there, the president saying that charges are coming, and that's what we want to hear. Don't sell me a dream, though. Let's see those charges get filed. Joining me to discuss is Aaron Wright. He is running for Texas AG in this beautiful state. He also previously was over at the DOJ as well before he stepped into this race. And so what perfect timing you have, my friend, coming onto the show right now.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So look, I love what President Trump is saying. I'm excited about it. I'll tell you what, when I was Attorney General Ken Paxton's deputy back during the era of the stolen election in November of 2020, Paxton and I filed Texas versus Pennsylvania, bringing a constitutional challenge because we alleged that at least four states had conspired together using COVID as a pretext for their executive and judicial branches to hijack their electoral processes and then cram down unconstitutional elections that then set the conditions for the election to be stolen. We went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito would have heard that case. So we were in the trenches now, what is it, 2026, 5 years ago, trying to fight to stop the stolen election and prevent Joe Biden from illegally, unconstitutionally taking the White House in January of 2021. We were not successful back then, but I love to hear that our president is saying, look, I want to bring charges again. And there's all kinds of things that federal law enforcement can do. They can appoint a special prosecutor to start subpoenaing all of these federal officials who may have conspired to defraud the American people and the federal government. They can allege violations of various election laws. They can bring constitutional claims. I like to see that President Trump is keeping his foot on the gas on this because we know the November 2020 election was stolen. Justice still hasn't been done, and it doesn't sit well with the American people. So I love to hear what President Trump's saying.
Yeah, and I love that he's talking about this because there are so many people out there who are telling him to let go of the 2020 election and move on from it. But I mean, just personally, I'd say we can't move on from this because these people are going to do it again. But they were able to successfully steal. And then the worst part about it is a lot of these courts, when these challenges like you just detailed were making their way to the courts, they weren't even trying to entertain the arguments here because a lot of them feared what might come if we start challenging these elections. Do you think President Trump should let up on any of this, like his critics tell him to do?
No, I don't think that he should let up. I think that he should double down. Mm-hmm. I love that the president, I love what he said. He said, I always want strong borders, strong elections, and a good press. And so he's secured the border. Boom. Mission accomplished. We still have tens of millions of illegals to deport. He's got he's got to wrangle the press. Obviously, there's limited control there. They're always going to have Trump derangement syndrome and try to go after him. But to secure the elections is so critical. We can't have a free and healthy constitutional republic without free and fair elections. It's fundamental. We can live with people who maybe civilly disagree with us on policy or politics, or may have preferences over different elected officials than you or I have. That's fine, right? But what we can't have is a situation where the rules of the game are rigged, the rules of play are unfair, and then after unfair elections happen, we, people like us who have concerns over that, are gaslit and told to go home and take your ball and leave and forget about it. This was the most secure election in world history. And it doesn't sit well with us. Let's get to the bottom of what happened, what laws were violated, who conspired to defraud the American people, what provisions in the U.S. Constitution were flouted. Let's figure it out. Let's open the books and let's get justice. I love to see it. I want to see more of it. And I'm very happy to see the president leaning in on this. And as the next attorney general of Texas, Texans can have total confidence that I'm going to be on the very cutting edge of election integrity, because I've been fighting for election integrity up and down the chain of the justice system for my entire career.
Yeah. And you're also backed by Ken Paxton. That's a big one. We're looking for someone who could hold Ken Paxton's seat, because he's done an incredible job at fighting back against not only the corruption, the government corruption, but also corporate greed, corporate corruption as well. And so this is a big seat that we're looking to make sure someone we could trust
100%
steps into. And the best part, too, I'll let you take it away from here, is you're not a career politician either.
Yeah.
I think there's someone out there, Chip Roy, who likes to go around.
It's pronounced soy. Chip Soy is how it's pronounced. Oh. Or Flip Roy sometimes. I think that those nicknames are a little bit mean, but that's just what everybody's calling them. I don't know.
I hear the Texans and they're whispering these nicknames too.
Yeah, I don't
know. So you're factually true there. You know, the problem is Chip Roy gives great sound bites, but he's been a politician for many, many years now. And I love the fact that he's talking about the Islam issue, but this has been ongoing for years now, right? These 60-something mosques that have popped up all across the state of Texas, specifically the DFW area, didn't just happen overnight. There were people who were silent and compliant with all of this. I know Paxton's been on this, though, and investigating where the money's coming from and trying to dig into all of this.
Yeah.
But you have him now jumping on board, because we saw a Rasmussen Reports poll out that I think it was 77% of voters are deeply concerned about Islam taking over here in the United States. So now all of a sudden we're seeing politicians jump on. But you've been on this for day one. I mean, you've been speaking out about this issue. You didn't need to see a poll to understand that this is something that the American people are passionate about.
Yeah.
Why do you think others have waited till the polls come out before they speak out on these issues?
Because that's what politicians do, right? I mean, this is what I have been leading legal troops in legal combat to deliver legal victories for our Constitution and for our conservative values for years. That's not just a soundbite. That is my record. Both as a Marine officer before I was a lawyer, when I was working on the Texas Supreme Court, as Paxton's deputy, Cruz's chief, and then as a presidentially appointed Senate-confirmed head of the Office of Legal Policy at DOJ, I have been at war with the left up and down the chain of the justice system. Now, conveniently, somebody like Chip Soy, who has basically his political career has frittered out in Congress, he doesn't have any power, nobody wants him, he's never going to have a committee. The president doesn't have any use for him. Remember, as late as December of 2024, Trump was calling for Chip Roy to be removed from office, calling him a do-nothing rhino, weak, ineffective, not smart, a grandstander, egomaniac, all of these things. Not my words. Those are the president's words about Chip Roy. So naturally, what you see with a career politician, a career staffer before he was an elected official, like Chip Roy, is they lick their finger, they see where the wind is blowing, they say, oh, this is a popular issue that will poll well, and then is all of a sudden going to get the sound bites. So sure, if you want an AG who's good at sound bites, great, maybe Chip Roy is your guy. If you want an attorney general who has been vetted and trusted by President Trump, who has been endorsed by Ken Paxton to succeed him as the next AG, who has covered in the battle scars of legal combat, going to war against the Islamists and their ilk, that's me, Aaron Wrights, for Attorney General.
Well, and speaking of going to war, you've just dropped this campaign video just a few moments ago, actually, before you joined us in studio. It's clip 13, and I gotta say, I love this. Take a listen.
Islam is not compatible with Western civilization. I'm Aaron Wrights, and that's just one lesson I learned as a Marine in Afghanistan. But politicians have imported millions of Muslims into our country. The result? More terrorism, more crime, and they even want their own illegal cities in Texas to impose Sharia law. Not on my watch. I'm Aaron Wrights. As Attorney General, I will stop the invasion and defend our Christian values.
For Attorney General Aaron Wrights.
All right, now this is a major issue here in Texas. Texans are fired up over this because they don't want this becoming a community for just Islamists. And it's turning the DFW area into just that. I mean, the 400 acres for Epic, that they're trying to transform. I mean, this is deeply, deeply concerning, but you're jumping in on this fight and you want to be in on this. I mean, you want to go after these people and get them out of Texas. Yeah. It's foreign purchase. Like a lot of these groups, when you track down who's purchasing up this land, by the way, they don't look like they are associated with any Islamic groups. Some of them are even Chinese.
Totally.
But they're purchasing up land here and trying to transform Texas into a sanctuary for Muslims. Totally. What do you think of that?
Well, and you've actually nailed a really important piece of their invasion of Texas. Epic City, right? That's the city. Epic is the mosque. Epic City is their Sharia town that they want to build, which they've renamed, by the way, to the Meadows, which sounds innocuous, right? So they've renamed it the Meadows to avoid scrutiny. But here's the really interesting thing, and we see this across the board with the Chinese nationals, with the foreign nationals, with the transnational criminal organizations, and the Islamists here in Texas. Epic, the mosque, created a corporate entity called something like Capital Community Partners. Capital Community Partners, if you're just looking at corporate paperwork or nonprofit paperwork or incorporation documents, you wouldn't bat an eye. There's all kinds of legitimate investment vehicles and companies that are named things similar to Capital Community Partners. But what the Muslims are doing in Texas is they're smart. These are not Stone Age, 75 IQ rock throwers like I got to hang out with in Afghanistan, okay? That's not what we're dealing with today. We're dealing with very sophisticated international actors who know how to avoid legal and political and public relations scrutiny. And so when we see them doing things like creating harmlessly sounding Capital Community Partners to create a Sharia town, we need an attorney general who's got the experience, who doesn't buy the BS, who knows exactly what they're up to and is going to smoke them out. I always say this. I want to treat the Islamists in Texas as attorney general like the feds treated the mob in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. How many mob bosses did we put away for murder? Not many, right? Because they're smart. They wipe their fingerprints off the weapon. But what the feds successfully did do is they smoked them out with process crimes, financial crimes, racketeering, RICO, trafficking, drug trafficking, tax fraud, all of these sorts of things to where you created such an oppressive legal environment that the mafia could not even exist. And now, by all accounts, they're virtually irrelevant. I'm going to do the same thing to these Islamists. Ken Paxton is already starting that process, and I'm going to carry it on so that all of these Islamists who want to turn Texas into Sharia, who view Texas as the crown jewel of conquering Western civilization, they are either going to be behind bars, prosecuted into oblivion, or they're just going to self-deport and they can go join Ilhan Omar up in Minnesota or go back overseas to their Muslim majority countries where they can live out their Sharia dreams. But it's not happening in Texas.
Well, and this is really important because we've seen this play out before. We see that when they're not the minority or the majority, I should say, that they are very friendly. And then all of a sudden when they become the majority, Christians are getting their throats cut. And so to sit here and pretend like this isn't an issue is completely insane. And again, I see that now people are jumping on board with all of this. But this isn't an issue that should have been played out for this long. I mean, we saw what was happening years ago. Amy Mech doing incredible work over at the Rare Foundation, as well as Laura Loomer and others, exposing all of this. And now they're starting to jump into all of it because it's popular. And they realize that, okay, I won't be called, I might be called a mean name, but the voters really don't care because the voters see the long-term issues with all of this. And speaking of that, there was actually a really brave woman. This comes to us from Amy Mech, who found this video. She spoke out during the Murphy City Council meeting that took place on the 20th of this month. She spoke out in clip 14. Take a listen.
I don't know if y'all have seen other cities around you grow into like mosques are growing everywhere. And I have lived for 21 years every day going by Epic Mosque. And I see the traffic. I see what it's brought. It started out as a strip mall. It went to a big Epic that Plano had given them for some of their reasons. And then it expanded not only in front. Now they had their medic center, they have their medical center, they have across the street, and that's just going to grow. Why do we need this in Murphy when we got it down the road? Why do we need an Islamic learning center when we already have everything halfway down on 14th Street? And then it's trying to go in all our communities. We need to wake up and realize what's going on. Islam is growing in Texas, and we need to stop it. We need to get with our representatives that don't listen and our communities and stop this all across Texas and make Texas red, white, and blue, American. We are veterans here. We have people, and we need to just keep fighting, and you need to listen, and you need to listen to Murphy residents. I did not know there was a meeting a month ago, or I would have been here. Sick or not, I would have been here. But nobody knew. Half the people don't know. We need a better way to communicate with our Murphy residents. And as Murphy, you need to stand together and fight this. You do not need to let this happen. Thank you.
Thank you.
I love how fired up she is on this front. She is one brave woman calling it out and calling these officials out. And she's right. We don't need any more Islamic learning centers popping up over here in Texas.
Or leering centers, even. No learning centers, no leering centers.
That's probably my favorite moment of the year so far. Is
best meme of the year so far, 100%.
At least
if only it was a meme. It's not. It's reality, which is insane, right?
These are the people saying, claiming that they're teaching your children.
It's just ridiculous. Look, I am so proud to see this woman speak up. And you know, the audio, what may not be captured totally on that audio, is how enthusiastic the applause and the cheering was when this regular woman, and she's not a political activist, she's just a veteran who's standing up and has seen her community totally transform, right? There are communities in Texas. They bought their houses many years ago. They wanted peaceful, healthy, happy, safe, English-speaking, American, Texas communities, and they've seen the great replacement happen. It's not a theory, it's a reality. And it's women like who live in Murphy, which is a nice suburb in Collin County, north of Dallas County, up in the DFW area. Collin County is, it may be ground zero of the Islamic invasion in Texas, right? It's the DFW area. You've got in the Harris County area, Fort Bend. Did you know that two of the top 10 largest mosques in the United States are in Texas, and then the DFW and the Houston area? It's insane. And so what this shows, what this woman shows in Murphy, Texas, in Collin County, is there is real organic concern about seeing the transformation of their communities. You give this, if this goes unabated for a few more years, I guarantee you we're going to start hearing six times a day or whatever it is, calls to prayer, starting at 4 a.m. I can still hear the sound ringing in my ears when I was in Afghanistan. But it is absolutely coming. And when I'm attorney general, we are not only going to stop the invasion of the Sharia law Muslims, but we are going to completely reverse it.
Yeah, and I think this is really important to do just that. Again, I would be okay with them if there were people willing to coexist with us, but that's not the case.
No, they're not. And this is the thing. And this is, I always use this phrase whenever I frame it. I say, we are dealing with hordes of foreigners who are unassimilated and unassimilable. We have gone through periods in American history where new immigrants come on board. We have a very healthy, vibrant, deep, well-understood, energetic American culture that is well-suited at assimilating new generations that come, you know, in an orderly fashion to assimilate those. And then in each wave, we stop immigration for a long time until there's total assimilation, and then we might reconsider our immigration policy. But we're not doing that anymore. American civilization lacks the vigor right now in the 21st century to even adequately assimilate these people. Do you think that our public education system right now is doing a good job at assimilating foreigners? Absolutely not. In fact, they're training native-born Americans to hate our country. And if they're training native-born Americans to hate the country, imagine what they're doing with the foreigners. They're just letting our country get balkanized. And this is particularly troublesome on the Islamic front, because the internationally funded, nationally coordinated efforts to install Sharia law in Texas has been going on for 20 years. It's about to burst. Our elected officials are finally paying attention to it, thanks to the grassroots work of many of the people that you named. But as Attorney General, I'm going to wield the vast constitutional, statutory, and regulatory powers to get rid of this nonsense. And even if my opponents, like Chip Soy, want to make big promises that they're going to do it, I'm the only one in this race that has actually done the work that can give Texans confidence that we're going to get the job done. I'm not talk, I'm action.
Yeah, and again, this is really important. I know our audience loves this, but you're not a career politician. And I know Chip likes to lean in on that he's got a history of running for office, but that's not something the American people want to see. I mean, we're so done with the career politicians. We want someone who's authentic going into this fight because they know what Texans want. They understand how to represent them best. And that's something that you really do reflect. And I want to jump over to Minnesota while we still have some time, because the AG over there, who just happens to be Muslim, by the way, too, Keith Ellison is out here, and he's fighting off ICE agents and trying to say that ICE is in the wrong. And it's got so many Americans fired up, because we support our federal agents going out there and going after these pedophiles, going after these rapists and murderers 100%. That were let in.
Yeah.
Let's take a listen to the latest push that Ellison's trying to make after just recently being subpoenaed by the DOJ. Take a listen to clip 12.
The case of Mr. Dow, I think, is illustrative because it is, we caught on camera. He's a U.S. citizen. He's his ethnicity is he's Hmong from Vietnam. Of course, notoriously, that's a group that had fought on the U.S. side in Vietnam and had been granted refugee status. The vast and overwhelming majority of Hmong folks who live in Minnesota are legal. They were brought here as a kind of recompense for their stalwart allyship in that war. His son said that ICE agents stopped him while he was driving to work before they went to detain his father. He was driving a car he borrowed from his cousin's boyfriend. Court records show the boyfriend shares the first name of another Asian man who has been convicted of a sex offense. Christow said the two people are not the same. And regardless of whether it was a case of mistaken identity, is it your understanding that it's constitutionally permissible to knock down someone's door and grab them with zero probable cause or judicial warrant?
It looks like an outrage and an offense, not only against that Minnesota resident and citizen, but against our Constitution. And the sad thing is that it is a particularly heinous and ugly example of what's going on. But Chris, is happening all over our city and our state.
All right, Aaron, I'll let you take it away from there, because he's saying this is happening all over the state.
Yeah, right. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison sucks so bad. He is one of the worst Democrat state AGs in the nation. I think it's totally appropriate that he's wearing that dark gray colored button down all the way up to the top, because it looks like a prison uniform. I hope that he's getting ready to put on a prison uniform, because he deserves to be in jail for his conspiracy against the federal government and against the lawful operations of our federal law enforcement there in Minnesota. At the end of the day, what we are experiencing, what we're observing, is that the Democrats are instigating, if not fully participating in, a full-blown insurrection. I want to see more federal law enforcement. I want to see federal troops in places like Minnesota, because they are, and it's, and by the way, this isn't us Republicans using sort of civil war language. You might remember 2 weeks ago or so, Tim Walz making reference to the fact that it felt like it was 1861 again at the beginning of the Civil War. They are rebelling against the lawful administration of government, the lawful applications of federal law enforcement. It is totally legitimate what ICE, Border Patrol, and the federal government, Justice Department is doing. And you have people like Keith Ellison, who's sitting there on the news with his Islamic phrase and all those posters in the background on that clip that we just saw. And he is thumbing his nose at the Trump administration, and I'd like to see an aggressive crackdown. As Attorney General, I will make sure that not only we never see this kind of lawlessness in Texas, but I'll reach out and go to war against these other Democratic states that are trying to subvert law and order, subvert justice, and destroy the American Republic. It's never going to happen on my watch. And folks can trust me. Look, I want people to look me up. It's Aaron Reitz, R-E-I-T-Z. They can go to my website, aaronreitz.com, A-A-R-O-N-R-E-I-T-Z.com, and follow me on X, Aaron_Reitz, R-E-I-T-Z.
We love to hear it, folks. Aaron Reitz joining us in studio today. We'll keep having you back, my friend, because you're doing an incredible job. And, you know, we're getting closer and closer to the early voting here in Texas, which is
February
so crazy.
17th starts, and then Election Day's March 3rd is coming right up.
Time flies by. Aaron Reitz, thank you for joining us in studio.
Thanks,
appreciate it,
me.
As always. More next.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish DMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together.
and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, oh, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him, and I'm like, I gotta get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio, and 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, when it comes to Minneapolis, we've got a good group of independent journalists on the ground who have been reporting on what's really happening there. Thankfully, you don't have to rely on Don Lemon to give you your latest report. We do have great quality reporters on the ground, and we've been speaking with them all week. But we've also been speaking with Lyman over at Border Hawk. Most of the time, he's over at the White House, but he was on the ground in Minneapolis doing a lot of incredible reporting, and he is joining us now. Whit, I want to thank you for being here. It's exciting to have you back on. Of course, you're doing great work with Border Hawk, but you've been on the ground in all of this, and I know just recently there have been several Minnesota officials handed subpoenas. Just yesterday alone, it was Tim Walz, the governor, the AG, Keith Ellison, and as well as the Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Fry. So it's been quite interesting seeing what's going on there. But it kind of sounds like they're trying to go after them for their response to federal agents being in the area. What's the latest that you've heard on that?
That is correct. And good to be with you today, Brianna. But that is the situation that we're seeing. And additionally, you have the church situation that's going on sort of in the background of some of this. And you have the entire Minneapolis fraud situation also in the back, which is continuously, you know, the reason for a lot of what we're seeing on the ground. But yeah, you're exactly correct. You have three subpoenas for those people. Attorney General Bondi is now in Minneapolis, and we're having reports of other higher officials heading to Minneapolis this week. So we're looking at a lot of pressure from the federal government on a sanctuary state and city. And we could see this as a model going forwards across the country for what they want to do with these sort of Democrat stronghold cities.
Yeah, and we're going to see this as it all plays out. You know, we were hearing all these threats that they are actually going to go after a lot of these individuals, specifically those are going to get arrested. I believe I heard this yesterday, who did enter that church. And so we hope that they make good on this commitment, because the American people want to make sure that this doesn't happen again, that Christians can go to their churches, worship on Sunday without liberal, demonic human beings walking into their churches and trying to block them from having service. So we'll keep our eye on that. But yesterday you were on the ground as well when there was a press conference going on. We're going to play clip 15 for our audience, because you did get a question into the Border Patrol commander, Gregory Bovino. And he's actually done an incredible job at going after the left. They like to confront him in public, and he seems to flame them pretty well. But you asked him a very specific question in regards to the businesses that are trying to block federal agents from receiving services. Take a listen.
Commander Bovino, question for you. Whit Lyman with Border Hawk. It's hard to get coffee in the Twin Cities without seeing signs of ICE can't enter, but everyone else can, or restaurants or supermarkets. Based on everything you shared today, what is your message to these businesses, to these organizations that are obviously trying to push out ICE and your operation?
Sure. And this goes to anyone, not just those businesses and organizations. Don't fall victim. Don't fall victim to that heated rhetoric and those lies that are often spouted by, say, a Mayor Fry. Mayor Fry actually told his police force to fight federal agents in the city. And you should have even seen the look on O'Brien's face, Chief O'Brien. His eyebrows actually raised at that one. So don't fall victim to that. Our Border Patrol agents, our ICE officers, our parents, they're citizens. They enjoy the rule of law just like everyone else. So to deny them a cup of coffee or lawful commerce seems to be absolutely opposite of what we would expect in a lawful, orderly society. Do we like what happened with the church there a couple of days ago, when individuals came in and disrupted almost violently a church service? Absolutely not. Same thing. We should treat each other with respect, dignity, and that is why we are here in this city, as we take those violent criminals off the streets. That's respect and dignity.
All right, so this is really, really important. And folks, just a reminder, independent journalism survives only when you support it. So make sure you head on over. Give Border Hawk News a follow on X. As you just saw there, they also collect donations, and that's what makes them or helps them go out on these trips. And I'm sure Wood would greatly appreciate you guys supporting him. But I want to get to the core of all of this, because you're asking a lot of key questions. You know, you've also posted the signs that are outside the coffee shops, which tell federal agents, like, you're not welcome here. What is it like when you go out there and you confront these businesses? Because this isn't very welcoming, and I don't think it's going to have the effect that they assume it's going to have, which is going to be a welcoming in maybe more of a liberal customer base.
Yeah, you know, this is actually something that was a little startling for me, because I want to say there's hundreds of businesses in the Twin Cities that have these signs and posters out front, not dozens or scores, but there are hundreds. I mean, you can't go, you know, one in three businesses without seeing something. And most of them are mom and pop stores. You know, we've seen some instance of like a Target or, you know, another restaurant sort of barring ICE. But everywhere you go, there's giant signs. You know, the coffee shops have drinks that are, you know, derogatory about ICE. A lot of businesses are closed. Or they say, you know, for instance, in the Somali community, they say knock first and then we'll let you in if you're not ICE. So they have someone sort of guarding the door of some of these restaurants, and it's jarring. It is everywhere. I mean, the amount of graffiti, every bridge, many street signs, back alleys, it's all anti-ICE. So, you know, my question is geared towards, you know, what does the Border Patrol think of seeing this everywhere they go, seeing hostility? And also, you know, what's their message to the community that some of these people do not want Border Patrol immigration officials there conducting their job? And as we've seen many times, and as you reported on everywhere that they go, they're followed, they're doxxed, they're attacked. You know, Commander Bovino said during that press conference, he's lost track of how many agents have been assaulted. So, the constant rhetoric of negativity and the constant violence is something that Minneapolis is very unique in, and it's very large. There are plenty of very upset people there. So it's only going to continue, I think, too, Brianna.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the case. Do you think the president should be, bringing forward the Insurrection Act at this point? I know a lot of people say that it would probably be a step too far, but it seems like based on the footage we're seeing between you, Julio Rojas, and others, and Jorge Ventura as well on the ground, that these people are getting increasingly violent rather than, toning it down. I mean, the governor now claims to be instructing them to turn the temperature down, but obviously that's not the case. Do you think that the Insurrection Act needs to be pushed forward now?
You know, when I first arrived, the violence on the scene was constant and growing. You know, you saw people in the streets. They were stopping cars. They were kicking cars like you're seeing on your screen, attacking vehicles, attacking agents. And then the local sheriff's department actually got involved. And that really quelled a lot of the violence at the federal building and sort of in the neighboring areas there. And they've also put up a bunch of new fencing that the sheriffs have. And I would say the situation cooled very quickly, almost overnight in some of these areas. So do I think that they're ready for Insurrection Act level involvement? It didn't appear to be, but at the beginning, I was certainly leaning in that direction. Mm-hmm. Now, if we see something much worse with any kind of large arrest, if the city sort of revolts, then you could see something, pretty intense from a military perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we look forward to seeing what's happening over there. And I hope, Whit, for your sake, at least, that you're going to make your way to a much warmer part of the country right now. But Whit Lyman, we appreciate all the incredible work that you all do over at Border Hawk News. Folks, if you haven't done so already, make sure you give him a follow on X at @Whit_Lyman and over at Border Hawk News as well on X. And donate if you like independent journalism, because that's how they can go out there into the field and do all the incredible reporting that they do. We appreciate it as always, Whit. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Appreciate the time. God bless.
God bless, my friend. All right, folks, we've got a lot going on all across the country, but specifically, let's just go here with this. Right now, it looks like the Oversight Committee is holding their little hearing right now on Bill and Hillary Clinton. It is their very first day of holding them potentially in contempt of Congress. Let's listen in.
Member, Mr. Garcia.
Thank you, Congressman Lynch. Mr. Comer, I just want to be just pretty clear about two things, and one particularly something that you said. Let me just start by saying that you noted in your comments that your concern and your biggest concern was the issue of the transcript. And I want to just go back really quick, because you and I share respect for subpoenas. Mm-hmm. You and I share that we want the former president to answer questions. Is that correct?
Correct.
Great. And so does every other member of this committee. We want the former president to answer questions of this committee. And we want not just the former president, but everyone to follow subpoenas of this committee. So let's agree on that. But to be clear, President Clinton, the former president, has submitted a signed declaration. He's offered to sit with you and me and answer questions. He's offered to have staff in the room to transcribe and be there while those questions are being answered. And his request was to do it in a dignified way. Your concern, as you brought up in your last comments, was that he was unwilling to do a recorded transcript. That's actually also not true. And to be clear, there's been public reporting, including in articles that came out over the weekend, that they have not ruled out a recorded transcript. I want to ask the president questions. Chairman Comer, I want to ask President Clinton questions. Don't you?
That's why we're here.
I want to ask President Clinton questions and a recorded transcript and with our members of our staff. Would you like to do that also?
May I make a comment on the transcript? They have not agreed to a transcript. Staff notes are not equivalent.
They've actually made public reporting.
So they're wanting me to make notes. They said, okay, Comer can take notes, but They've called us all liars, and you know how the Clintons have gone on offense. And look, they don't get to make the rules. We make the rules.
Can I have the rest of my time back?
Yeah, go
okay,
ahead.
Thank you. I want to be clear, because this is an email, actually, that from the Clinton lawyers. You have this, actually. To be clear, at no point were we opposed to the creation of a record of the interview, which is why we offered to allow the note takers previously. They go on. This is, you have this email, sir. So I guess my question to you is, do you want to sit down and ask can I have my time back?
We'll recognize Garcia, then Mr. Donald will be next. So.
Thank you. So my question to you, Mr. Comer, again, is if we want to actually ask questions of President Clinton, of which those of us in the minority want to do, then let's get him in. Let's negotiate a recorded transcription of that interview to further our investigation. I thank you for the yield, Mr. Lynch.
Chair, time's expired. Chair recognizes Mr. Donalds.
Chairman, point of clarification. Both President Clinton and Secretary Clinton were subpoenaed by this committee.
All right, so we're keeping our eye on what's happening right now in front of the Oversight Committee. As many of you guys just saw, this is day one of potentially holding both Hillary and Bill Clinton in contempt of Congress for not showing up to their subpoena. Republicans have done a little bit of a dancing around. They've made it very easy for them to do just that. And then eventually they just sent over a letter, the Clintons, of course, saying, all right, we're not going to comply. Come and get us. That's what you see unraveling over in the Oversight Committee right now. But it's not just that. We've got our eye on another hearing taking place right now, and this one might actually stir up some interest. Nick Shirley is actually testifying today in front of the House Judiciary Committee, the subcommittee specifically, that is now going out there and looking into the fraud. Both Nick Shirley's there and his sidekick, who's been doing a lot of the digging into this, Mr. Dexter. Mr. Dexter is actually speaking right now. Let's take a listen.
But members on both sides of the aisle had an ability.
All right, bringing you the audio in just a second. You know, we got a lot going on over here. We're flipping around between committee hearings, and obviously there's a lot happening right now. So, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a change around, but we're going to bring it to you once we get it up and going. Let's go straight to it right now.
Investigation Division, Homeland Security, and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, we learned that millions of dollars in cash from the Somali community was being flown out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport by Somali couriers. At one point, nearly $70 million had been documented leaving the country halfway through a single year. Although we could not prove that the cash was obtained fraudulently, we strongly suspected that it was. We also encountered situations where federal partners were prevented from opening cases due to concerns about political sensitivities surrounding the Somali community and the refugee resettlement program. These decisions had real consequences, allowing fraud to continue unchecked. Throughout our work, we identified several loopholes that made CCAP highly vulnerable to fraud. Centers were allowed to bill for the full authorized hours, even when children were present for only minutes. Billing records could be submitted up to 30 days later, creating opportunities for manipulation. Attendance records were handwritten, unreliable, and often incomplete. And despite our recommendations, no biometric attendance systems, no electronic submission requirements, and no state-installed security cameras were ever implemented. Chair and members, the purpose of my testimony is not to cast blame on any community. It is to highlight systemic weaknesses that allowed large-scale fraud to occur and to emphasize the need for stronger safeguards, better oversight, and investigative processes that are allowed to function without political interference. Thank you for your time and your commitment to ensuring accountability within publicly funded programs. And I am prepared to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Dexter. And now we're going to recognize Mr. Hetler-Gaudet for your 5 minutes of opening statement.
Chairman Biggs, Ranking Member McBath, and members of the subcommittee, I appreciate the opportunity to testify before you today on the important issues of preventing fraud and protecting taxpayer dollars. My name is Dylan Hetler-Gaudet, and I am the Acting Vice President of Policy and Government Affairs at the Project on Government Oversight. We are a nonpartisan, independent watchdog that promotes a more accountable, transparent, and effective federal government. We view it as our mission to combat abuse of power and corruption in the federal government, which includes working on rooting out waste, fraud, and abuse. The unfortunate truth is that fraud in government programs is a fact of life.
All right, I'm going to step in on this. We'll bring it to you when Nick Shirley begins to speak, and we expect it to be momentarily. Homeboy over there is too cool, and he's got his shades on. The things you see nowadays over congressional hearings. All right, folks, I wanted to talk a little bit about the lawfare, though, right? Because there's some people who still have not been punished, and that's been our biggest level of criticism for this administration. The lack of criminal charges against all the key players who've gone out there and tried their very best to destroy this great nation. President Trump, I mean, he's every day reminding us that he's sitting back and watching, and he's not happy at the lack of criminal charges. Yesterday in the Truth Social post, he talked about the auto pen crooks, as he usually does, and he's calling for their arrests. Now, folks, this is a big one again, because I keep telling you that I don't think he's going to aggressively go out there and go after Pam Bondi. Why? Well, because that would possibly show that there's maybe some, I don't know, influence with the White House and the DOJ. So you can't really do that. So you got to kind of trickle the information out there. And it seems like that's what the president is currently doing. He's putting out these smoke signals telling AG Pam Bondi, you better listen up, lady, or else I'm going to turn on you, as he does when they don't do what they're supposed to do. But the president earlier today, we played that clip for you in Davos, saying that there's going to be criminal charges coming soon to those who stole successfully the 2020 election. But Pam Bondi last night was doing what she does best, and that usually means Fox News. And in clip six, she was actually speaking on Fox News yesterday with that a very important quote, which many of you know now, is that no one is apparently above the law here in the United States. Take a listen.
Whether it's a public official, whether it's a law enforcement officer, no one is above the law in this state or in this country. And people will be held accountable. This state is a mess right now. We've seen the chaos, and it's constant. And our men and women in law enforcement deserve to be safe. And that's what we're going to do in Minnesota.
Now, that's common sense. They do deserve to be safe. But folks, I don't think we've really seen much besides investigations get launched. And that's all we really hear about. Now, again, everyone says, hold on, Brianna, don't be so black pill. Charges are coming. It just takes time. It's a process. Although the last administration somehow was able to figure it out. Oh, by the way, according to Just the News, we've learned that, what are they calling themselves? The sedition hunters? Well, apparently they were being paid by the FBI six figures, over $100,000. So the FBI had no problem coughing up your money to groups like sedition hunters to go out there and to use foreign analyst groups to run your information, run your faces, and have you arrested. But unfortunately, we don't seem to have that same desire with this new administration. And it's a bit frustrating. It's a bit frustrating. Todd Blanche also spoke yesterday, as they always do. And he said that the past 2 weeks that this administration would not tolerate those who are going out there and impeding on these investigations. In clip seven, let's take a listen to that.
Look, we said for the past 2 weeks that the federal government and this administration would not tolerate local officials doing what they were doing and have been doing, impeding federal officers and doing everything they could to encourage rioters to do what they had been doing, which is assaulting and getting in the way of federal officials. We said that we were investigating. I've seen the reports today, Laura. You know, I'm not going to comment on exactly what we're doing in this investigation, but this is exactly what we do when we investigate. We send grand jury subpoenas. We talk to witnesses to understand what's happening, and that's what you see happening right now.
Well, we'd love to see something happening. Show us a pulse. Show us a sign. Make some arrests. Give us some mugshots, why don't you? We were told that there were individuals who were indicted previously and that a rogue judge decided to toss out those charges, but we never did get our Tish James mugshot. We never got our James Comey mugshot. So how do we know they were even arrested? How do we know that they were even really charged? Show us some proof. Give us a mugshot. So here at Infowars.com, we have a photo we can put up on the website. Also, folks, I want to remind you, as we segue, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Starting today, every order placed at thealexjonesstore.com will receive a free t-shirt. That's a $40 value, and it's a special limited edition shirt that you cannot purchase anywhere else. You got to head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you get this t-shirt. Promise you, it's one of the t-shirts you're going to love over at thealexjonesstore.com. Also, incredible discounts on some of your favorite items. That's going on too right now. And the only way you'll find out about those savings is by heading over to thealexjonesstore.com. All right, yesterday, President Trump was, and I love it, President Trump was speaking with the media yesterday in the White House press room. And by the way, I've been over there once before. I know a lot of people are like, oh, Brianna, why don't you go into this new administration? They haven't asked me. I did apply, but I've been there before. And I can promise you one thing, it's gross. when I was there, it's when I was working for another outlet, it smelled like mildew. It was gross. I don't know why President Trump would make his way into the room, but he did yesterday. And he did speak on several key issues that I know a lot of people are worried about or maybe looking to get some more responses to. This was the video from him yesterday speaking to the media. But most importantly, he talked about an issue that I think a lot of people are very much interested in. This issue being potential tariffs, the dividend checks, many of you guys know. The tariffs have brought in a lot of money for the United States, as you've heard. And in clip 8, he details specifically what his plans are in regards to getting that money straight to you. Take a listen.
The reason we're even talking about it is that we have so much money coming in from tariffs that we'll be able to issue at least a $2,000 dividend and also pay down debt for the country. But we'd do a $2,000 dividend to the people of our country. We'd probably set a limit of, you know, income limit where it made sense. But we will be able to make a very substantial dividend to the people of our country.
We don't need it. How about we just pay down our debt? That'd be nice. That'd be nice. Folks, it looks like Nick Shirley is now speaking at that hearing I told you about in Congress. Let's take a listen.
So, Mr. Shirley, you're recognized for your opening statement.
Awesome. I'm here today to speak on behalf of all hardworking, law-abiding, tax-paying citizens here inside of the United States. I've helped bring to light widespread fraud that's happening inside our nation, and we the people have had enough of our hard-earned money going towards fraudsters as if it's no big deal. As I speak here, I want to ask everyone a question. How much do we trust when we pay our taxes it's going to benefit our nation? People erupted during the Boston Tea Party over just a few percentages as they believe they are being taxed without representation. Nowadays, we have the representation, but do we trust our representatives? My name is Nick Shirley, and I made a 41-minute video that I posted on platforms like X and YouTube. My video received over 100 million views, and it created instant change within our government. As the federal government launched investigations and departments such as Health and Human Services froze over $185 million in childcare funding until businesses can prove they are legitimate businesses. I actually became aware of the fraud that was happening in Minnesota in June of 2025 as I was there for a separate video, and Minnesotans started reaching out to me asking me if I was making a video on the fraud. I said, well, what fraud? And this lady, she was a real estate agent, and she says, well, I'm having a hard time selling my properties because people are curious about these assisted livings.
All right, we're going to hit the pause button because we're up against a hard commercial break, but we're going to go straight back to Nick Shirley speaking in front of the House committee right now. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss in just a bit as they investigate the fraud taking place in Minnesota. We got a lot more happening in the third hour of the show, so don't go anywhere.
The truth is out there, and they don't want you to know it. There's still people that don't want to believe me out there. How are you going to tell me that Frog isn't totally gay?
Well, damn, I guess Alex was right. That frog was super gay.
A creeping mass with an eerie tone smiles on the surface with intentions unknown. Step past the light where truth's overthrown. Welcome, my friend, to the Info Zone.
An oozing mass of liars and snakes bought and paid for. Truth bends and breaks. It inches in close, steals freedoms away, drowns you in chemicals to make you obey.
I woke up this morning, felt the fire turn. Mind clear, feel the power burn. Found the truth in a place that delivers the force. Real strength, real fuel from the source. Methylene Blue, light my mind. Alex Jones store.